Welcome to Learning English from the Voice of America. I'm Katie Weaver. Our 30-minute program of news and stories from around the world is designed for people learning English. So, we speak slowly, using a simple style and limited vocabulary. Today, we have reports from Alice Bryant, Mario Ritter, and Brian Lynn. We close the show with an American story. Shep O'Neill narrates the final part of Benito Cereno by Herman Melville. But first, China's growing expertise with computers is a bigger threat to the United States than Russia's attempts to influence American elections. That claim comes from the U.S. Director of National Intelligence, Dan Coats. He warns that China is on a path to possibly become more powerful than any other country. Coates spoke at a cybersecurity conference this week at the Citadel Military College in Charleston, South Carolina. The U.S. official said China's slow and careful operations helped the government escape the kind of publicity that has followed Russia's actions. Most worrisome, he said, is the way in which the government is using its ties with the rest of the world to test and improve its computer technology in China. Coates said China has used its campaign on Muslims in the Xinjiang area as a testing ground for such technology. Intelligence officials and human rights groups estimate that China has detained more than 1 million Uyghurs and other Muslims, including families and children. The detainees reportedly have been sent to re-education centers, where they are forced to reject their religion and their culture. But Coates said the re-education centers are just the start. He warned that officials in China's northwest have set up high-tech spying operations, including the collection of DNA and other biological information. Coates added that China is experimenting with a social credit ratings program, using computers to decide access to bank loans, schooling, and even medical care. He warned that the Chinese government also threatens the export of these tools to other governments. An attempt to reach China's embassy in Washington for reaction to Coates' comments went unanswered. One Chinese official said last week that China's use of information technology is no more invasive than that used by Western countries like Britain. Some U.S. officials fear China could use Chinese-made products to spy on Americans. Lieutenant General Robert Ashley, director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, is one of them. "Do I have concerns with the Chinese?" he said. "Huge concerns with regards to their ability to leverage their industry." Already, the U.S. Defense Department has banned, on its military bases, the sale of mobile telephones by two Chinese companies because of possible security risks. And military officials like Ashley are increasingly worried about the large number of Chinese-made parts in computers and the effect that could have. Ashley said, my bigger concern may not necessarily be what's taking place on the battle space if I can't turn the power on. The U.S. National Counterintelligence and Security Center reported in July that Chinese cyber spying mostly targets businesses working with the Defense Department. But the report said it also spies on information technology and communications companies. U.S. intelligence officials are also increasingly concerned that China's efforts, while methodical, are becoming increasingly aggressive. China is no longer hiding its strengths, Coates warned. He said that China is working against the shared values of the international community, including protecting, in his words, personal privacy, the free flow of information, and the protection of commercial secrets.
Macedonian President Georgia Ivanov is urging Macedonians to boycott a popular vote on whether the country should change its name. He called changing the country's name from the Republic of Macedonia to North Macedonia historical suicide. Ivanov spoke at the United Nations General Assembly in New York City. He said it is a censorship of the world and an auto-censorship of the collective conscience of Macedonian people. Ivanov has refused to support a deal reached between Macedonian Prime Minister Zoran Zaev and Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. Under the deal, the people of Macedonia will vote on whether to change the country's name or not. The Associated Press reports that it is unclear if 50% of voters will take part in the referendum, which is required for the vote to be official. If voters do support the change, Parliament will have to change Macedonia's constitution. Ivanov has called the deal a clear violation of sovereignty. He criticized the vote, saying, "This referendum could lead us to become a subordinate state, dependent on another country." He added, "We will become a state in name only, not in substance." Greece has said that the name Macedonia belongs only to its northern province of Macedonia. It says, by using the name, the country of Macedonia can make a claim to the Greek province. Since Macedonia became independent in 1991, Greece has put pressure on it to change its name. Because of the objections of Greece, Macedonia is known as the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia in the United Nations. Greece also has blocked Macedonia from joining the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, or NATO. Supporters of the name change say it will lead to NATO membership and permit the country to join the European Union after a set time period. Opponents consider the change a national humiliation. On Sunday, September 30th, the people of Macedonia will vote on whether to change their name to North Macedonia. I'm Mario Ritter.
Istanbul, Turkey's largest city, is witnessing an explosion of graffiti art. Many of those driving this wave of colorful artistic expression are women. Gamze Yalçın is one of them. She has been painting graffiti on Istanbul's walls for the past 6 years. Yalçın, a trained artist, told VOA it is exciting to see continual growth of graffiti art across the city. More and more, the new generation are very into painting on the streets. But for me, it is still very much at the beginning, she said. Yalçın spoke to VOA as she worked to finish her latest art project on the wall of an abandoned building in Istanbul's Topkapı district. She says a lot of the graffiti art deals with women and women's issues.
I feel very lucky that as a female artist painting on the street or wherever I go, that brings so much power and so much inspiration.
Yalçın believes this kind of artwork can help inspire women to do whatever they want to do in their own lives. She says the number of female artists in Turkey continues to grow. Some of them have sought her help to learn more about graffiti art. In some countries, marking up buildings with graffiti is considered a serious crime. Human rights groups and other countries have criticized Turkey's government for restricting forms of free expression. They accuse the government of taking steps to limit news reporting and stop political critics. But Yalçın says that while there are more Turkish rules for street art today than in the past, graffiti artists are generally left alone. We are having more and more limits for our street life from what we used to have, she said. She added that she has not had any trouble from police. Sometimes she is told that graffiti art is not officially permitted. But she says police often then tell her, "Thank you for creating art for our places." Observers say the police treatment of graffiti creators can be partly explained by the fact that most do not include strong political themes in their art. Yalçın says her works are usually made up of a collection of images and symbols that relate to a specific theme. People want to see colors. They want to see art. Whatever you do on the street is a gift for everyone, she said. We have very limited parks, so green areas is always a subject I like to include with symbols of plants and greens. On the streets of Istanbul, many people like Yalçın's artwork. Many of them often stop to offer words of praise as she paints. Others take pictures of her work. Ulas operates a restaurant in the city.
Coloring the walls and shop fronts is beautiful rather than seeing just shutters or bare, derelict walls. This is much more colorful. When you wake up in the morning, streets look much different. I think this is super.
Graffiti art is becoming an important part of Istanbul's culture. At a recent arts show, the most popular area had graffiti created by women artists. Yalçın says she sees this popularity continuing because it provides beauty and happiness for people throughout the city. Whatever you do on the street is a gift for everyone, so people are really taking it as a gift, and they feel connected, she said. I'm Brian Lynn.
English phrases can be difficult to remember since the meaning of each individual word may not give any clue as to the phrase's meaning. In today's Ask a Teacher, Ina from the Ukraine asks about two phrases. Here is her question.
Hello, can you please explain the difference between by the way and mind you? And how to use these phrases correctly? Thank you.
Hello, Ina, and thanks for your question. I never thought of these two phrases as having anything in common, but your question gave me something to research. Here's what I found. Both mind you and by the way are used to direct the listener's attention to an added piece of information. But that is as far as their similarities go. English speakers use by the way when we want to quickly ask or say something that is partly or totally unrelated to the subject of discussion. For example, suppose you were talking to a friend about a city you visited and how beautiful it was. Then, suddenly, you remember something unrelated, your future travel plans with your friend. You might say something like this.
The architecture was gorgeous, and we visited the flower gardens and ancient temples. Oh, by the way, are we still going to London in November?
But, unlike with by the way, we do not use mind you to add a piece of unrelated information to what we just said. We usually use mind you to show differences between two statements. It has a similar meaning to however, or but just to let you know, or on the other hand. It helps us make clear to the listener that we don't want our statement to be misunderstood. For example, imagine that a teacher had received excellent online reviews from people who took her class. So, you decided to try it, but you did not enjoy the class. You might say,
her class wasn't very good. Mind you, I think she's a nice person.
It is similar to saying, her class wasn't very good, but just to let you know, I think she's a nice person. You can also put mind you at the end of a sentence, like this.
I think she's a nice person, mind you.
Note that mind you is not used very much in everyday American English. And that's Ask a Teacher. I'm Alice Bryant.
Next up is our program, American Stories. Today, Shep O'Neill brings you the final part of Benito Cereno by Herman Melville.
Captain Delano went down to Captain Cereno's cabin to cheer him up and say goodbye. Better and better, Don Benito, he said as he entered the cabin. Your troubles will soon be over. The American invited the Spanish captain to come aboard his boat for a cup of coffee. Sereno's eyes brightened, but then the light in them died. He shook his head and said he could not accept the invitation. Captain Delano was offended. He was about to withdraw when Don Benito rose from his chair and took Delano's hand. The Spaniard's hand shook, and he was too excited to speak. Delano pulled his hand away and turned, climbing back to the deck. His face was troubled. Captain Delano could not understand Don Benito's actions. One minute, the Spaniard was warm and polite. Then, just as quickly, cold and hostile. Captain Delano asked himself, why did he refuse to join me? Why is he so unfriendly? Captain Delano got to the deck and was about to step down into his boat when he heard his name. To his surprise, Don Benito was calling, coming quickly toward him. Captain Delano was pleased and turned back to meet him. Don Benito warmly took his hand with more energy and emotion than he had ever shown. But his excitement seemed too much for him, and he could not speak. Babo then came between the two men and put his arm around Don Benito to support him. Clearly, he wanted to end the meeting between the two captains. Walking between the two men, Babo went with them to the walkway. Don Benito would not let go of Captain Delano's hand. He held it tightly across his servant's body. Soon, they were standing by the ship's side, looking down into the American boat. Its crew turned up their wondering eyes. Captain Delano did not know what to do as he waited for Don Benito to let go of his hand. He wanted to step down into his boat, but Don Benito still firmly held his hand. Then, in an excited voice, the Spaniard said, "I can go no further. Here I must say goodbye. Farewell, my dear, dear Don Amasa. Go, go," and he tore his hand loose. "Go, and God protect you better than he did me. Go, Don Amasa, my best friend." Captain Delano was deeply moved. He would have stayed for another minute or so, but he caught the eye of Babo. It seemed to say, "This is bad for Don Benito's health." And so he quickly took the short step down into his boat with the continuing farewells of Don Benito, who stood rooted at the ship's side. Captain Delano sat down in the back of his boat, gave Don Benito a last salute, and ordered his men to push off. The boat began to move. Suddenly, Don Benito sprang over the side and came down at Delano's feet, and he kept shouting toward the Spanish ship. His cries were so wild that no one could understand him. An American officer asked, "What does this mean?" Captain Delano turned a cold smile upon Captain Sereno and said he neither knew nor cared. "It seems," he added, "that the Spaniard has taken it into his head to give his people the idea that we want to kidnap him. Or else..." And suddenly Captain Delano shouted, "Watch out for your lives!" He saw Babo, the servant, on the rail above with a dagger in his hand. He was ready to jump. What followed happened so quickly that Captain Delano could not tell one incident from another. They all came together in one great blur of violent action and excitement. As Babo came down, Captain Delano flung Don Benito aside and caught the rebel leader, pulling the dagger from his hand. He pushed Babo firmly down in the bottom of the boat, which now began to pick up speed. Then Babo, with his one free hand, pulled a second dagger from his clothes and struck at Captain Sereno. Captain Delano knocked it from his hand. Now he saw everything clearly. Babo had leaped into the whaleboat, not to kill him, but to kill Captain Sereno. For the first time, he understood the mysterious behavior of Don Benito, a prisoner under sentence of death. He looked back at the Spanish ship and got a clear picture of what its captain had escaped. On board the San Dominique, the shouting rebels were raising their axes and knives in a wild revolt. They stopped some of the Spanish sailors from jumping into the sea. A few, however, jumped, while two or three who were not quick enough went hurrying up the topmost wood arms. Captain Delano signaled to his ship, ordering it to get its guns ready. When the whale boat reached his ship, Captain Delano asked for ropes. He tied Babo and had him pulled up on deck. A small boat was quickly sent out to pick up three Spanish sailors who had jumped from Captain Sereno's ship. Captain Delano asked Don Benito what guns the rebels had. He answered that they had none that could be used. In the first days of the rebellion, a cabin passenger, now dead, had destroyed the few guns there were. The Americans fired six shots at the San Dominique, but the rebel ship moved out of reach. Small boats were armed and lowered. Captain Delano ordered his men into them, and they moved out to capture the rebel ship. The boats caught up with the San Dominique when it was nearly night. But the moon was rising, and the gunners were able to see where they were shooting. The rebels had no bullets, and they could do nothing but yell. Many of the rebels were killed, and the San Dominique was captured. After an investigation, Babo was found guilty of stealing a ship and of murder and was hanged. Captain Benito Sereno never was well again, and he soon died. So ended the terrible story of the slave revolt aboard the slave ship, the San Dominique.
That is our show for today. But we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. For VOA Learning English, I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for listening.